crucial week for Brexit as European and British negotiators race towards a deadline.
If you squint hard enough, you can see a deal.
And Japan assesses the damage from Typhoon Hagibis.
So far, the biggest impact is in several areas where levees were breached and whole neighborhoods were flooded.
Plus, the U.S. military withdraws from northern Syria. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at just what's happening with Brexit negotiations this week, here's what you missed. President Trump has directed a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from northern Syria. He's effectively pulling them from the country. Defense officials said yesterday that many of the 1,000 troops would be moved to Iraq by the end of the month. They said a small number of troops, about 125 or so, would remain in southern Syria. The removal marks an accelerated U.S. pullback from the campaign against the Islamic State. It also removes a last obstacle from Turkey, which has been expanding into Kurdish-controlled areas in the region. At least 130,000 civilians have evacuated, and Kurdish officials have said that many have been killed. And Japan is assessing the fallout from Typhoon Hagibis, one of the worst storms to hit the island in decades. From Tokyo, Peter Landers has more.
So far, the biggest impact is in several areas where levees were breached and whole neighborhoods were flooded, and thousands have been evacuated from these neighborhoods. More than 30 people are believed dead as a result of the typhoon, and it really hit a swath of about 400 miles of Japan when it passed through Saturday and very early Sunday morning. And so many parts of central northern Japan were hit, and you had as many as 20 rivers breached and neighborhoods flooded. So authorities are dealing with the very widespread damage.
Just in case you're curious, hurricanes, typhoons, and cyclones are all tropical storms. The difference in naming comes from where the storm is formed. Those that form over the northern Atlantic and northeast Pacific Ocean are called hurricanes. Those that form in the northwest Pacific Ocean are typhoons. And those in the South Pacific and Indian Ocean are cyclones. And SoftBank has prepared a financing package that would allow it to take control of WeWork. We report the move would further sideline co-founder Adam Neumann, but it would help the company alleviate its looming cash crunch. However, it's not the only option on the table. WeWork has also asked JP Morgan to look at ways for the company to raise billions of dollars in debt. In a statement, a company spokesperson said, quote, WeWork has retained a major Wall Street financial institution to arrange financing. The We company, which was once privately valued at as much as $47 billion, abandoned its plan to go public last month. Investors balked at the company's ballooning losses and unusual arrangements with Mr. Neumann. Now, our main story this morning, Brexit. It's a crucial week for negotiations. That's because of a law passed by the British Parliament that will force Boris Johnson's government to ask for an extension to Brexit if an exit deal isn't reached by the end of the week. Max Colchester is in London. So, Max, what's the latest?
Things stand in flux at the moment. The EU and British negotiators spent the weekend in Brussels trying to hammer out a deal that would see the UK quit the EU potentially as early as the end of this month. But progress has stalled over some of the details around that deal, notably how the UK would allow, or would stop a border appearing between Northern Ireland, which is in the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which is in the EU. The details of that are unclear at this stage. However, there does seem to be some political desire to get some sort of conclusion to this Brexit process by the time the EU leaders meet this Thursday at a special summit.
So you're talking about backstop, this theoretical way of trying to avoid this hard land border between Northern Ireland and the rest of Ireland. This has been the issue for some time now. How have they managed to figure out a solution? What's their proposal to the EU?
Well, EU and British negotiators have been going around this effectively for about a year now, on and off. And the solution is a fudge, in a way. It's to try and find a way to ensure that the UK part of this Northern Ireland, which is this province, which has this land border with the Republic of Ireland, remains in a customs union both with the EU and with the UK. So the idea being that you won't have to pay tariffs as goods cross the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And also at the same time that the UK, well, that province would remain in a kind of, it would remain aligned to rules on phytosanitary checks, on manufactured goods, so that there wouldn't have to be any special checks between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland.
That sounds quite complicated.
It's extremely complicated. And instead, those checks would happen as the goods arrived on mainland UK. So it's incredibly complicated. It still remains relatively vague. They're in what's called the tunnel, where negotiations are secret. And so we haven't yet got the details of this proposal. But hopefully those will become clearer as the week goes on.
Talk to me a little bit about what's happening in London when it comes to Parliament. Boris Johnson has seen some rebellion from lawmakers within his own party. How thin is this going to be for him to try and get something through Parliament, let alone with EU negotiators?
This is the big question mark that hangs over any deal, which is, will Parliament back it? Parliament has already rejected a Brexit deal three times, and Boris Johnson has a minority in Parliament. He's actually on minus 46 in terms of his votes in the lower house. So the question is, can he rally his party and other pro-Brexit supporters around a deal? And that very much depends on the detail. A big question is this backstop issue, because a lot of people in his party and the Democratic Unionist Party, which are his allies in Parliament, don't want to see the province of Northern Ireland adhering to different rules to the rest of the UK. So it'll be up to Mr. Johnson and his ability to actually sell this deal to them, which will make the difference in the end.
So what happens if a deal isn't reached?
If a deal isn't reached, then British law says that the UK must ask the EU for a three-month extension to the Brexit negotiations, effectively till the end of January 2020. It's up to the EU's 27 members to grant the extension and also to determine its length. So that, again, is unknown.
So it sounds like a lot of unknowns, but possibly a way forward by the end of this week?
Yes, as someone once said to me over the weekend, if you squint hard enough, you can see a deal. But I think we're going to have to squint very hard.
You can find our full coverage of the ongoing negotiations up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to stick with Brexit, but turn to British assets. They've been on a bit of a rally recently, with the pound posting its best two-day performance since 2008 last Thursday and Friday. That's because investors are hopeful that a deal, in fact, could be reached by the end of the week. Alex Frangos is in London. So, Alex, why are investors optimistic?
Well, they're a little bit less pessimistic than they used to be, because the pound had gone really low, almost to its lowest level in decades, and UK stocks have been pretty hammered. And you saw a big rally Thursday, and especially Friday. Banks and home builders and companies that are really exposed to the UK economy tick up, because the sense that maybe there's not going to be a hard Brexit, maybe there's going to be a smooth transition that removes a lot of the tension and the fear in the markets about, you know, whether you want to own UK stocks.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Members of the Facebook-led cryptocurrency initiative, the Libra Association, are meeting today to discuss a charter to appoint a board of directors. The meeting comes after some of the biggest payment names in the consortium backed out on Friday. These are names like Visa, MasterCard, and eBay. Anna Maria Andriotis explains why they decided to leave.
The main reason has to do with regulatory pressure. During the last few months, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Stripe, they have been at the receiving end of criticisms and concerns about their involvement in this project from regulators, from lawmakers, and ultimately, the downside of being involved in Libra ended up outweighing whatever upside they could see for the time being.
But Anna Maria says this isn't necessarily the end of the Libra Association.
In fact, David Marcus, the architect of Libra, tweeted on Friday as these companies were exiting, that this is still something that's very much in play. And so we will see what the next steps are.
Finally, the Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences has been awarded to Abhijit Banerjee, Esther Duflo, and Michael Kremer for their experimental approach to alleviating global poverty. Dr. Duflo is the second woman and the youngest person ever to win the prize. Here's how she reacted.
Showing that it is possible for a woman to succeed and to be recognized for success, I hope is going to inspire many other women to continue working, and many other men to give them the respect that they deserve, like every single human being.
Fun fact, the Nobel Memorial Economics Prize wasn't created by Alfred Nobel. The award was established later than the other Nobel Prizes by the Bank of Sweden. The first prize was awarded 50 years ago in 1969. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.